best way to think about it is if you were going to build a team down the road a mile or you know, in the next town over, what would you do?
We know that building wealth comes from owning businesses and making investments. Yet why still do nearly half of businesses fail in the first 5 years, and why do others lose it all in their investments?
Welcome to the Wealth Watchers Podcast, your resource for building a massive net worth. We bring real stories from real people who are experts in business and investing, who will share secrets and actionable strategies to amassing wealth and achieving success. Brought to you by Happy Camper Capital. And now, your hosts, Justin Hoggett and Adam Lendy.
Welcome back to the Wealth Watchers Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lendy. With me today is my co-host, Justin Hoggett. Justin, how are you doing?
Hey, doing well, Adam. Thanks for asking. I got my parents, in-laws coming into town here this weekend. That's always an exciting time.
So you got a babysitter and a new car?
And we're going to... Yes. Yeah. So we might have some fun with it.
What are your wife going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to disappear. I don't know.
Well, it's a two-seater, so it works out well. It's got a backseat.
Yeah, sort of, if you call it.
Very, very small. Groceries. Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring our guest on. Our guest today is Tim Mobley. He's the president of Connext. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Very well.
Great. Thanks for joining us today. So, Tim, you're in Honolulu right now. How's it out there?
It's nice. It's sunny. Light breezes. Nothing. The ocean's nice. Nothing to complain about.
Well, we're getting a little chillier over here. We're supposed to get a freeze this weekend, so we're a little jealous right now.
Although it is the box jelly weekend, so we get box jellies 8 days after the full moon, and so that kind of dampens the ocean fun for a couple of days. But other than that, we're all good.
I haven't actually heard the term before. What's box jellies?
Well, they're jellyfish.
Oh,
box jellyfish, and something about the moon and the tide, and there's a schedule, and yeah, it's no fun being stung by a box jellyfish.
I had never heard that term for that type of jellyfish. I was picturing we were talking some kind of a candy. I thought, oh, that's delightful. We're getting something to snack on. Okay, Tim. So I guess we'd like to know, you know, kind of what it is you do, why does you do it, what Connext is, and what brings you here today?
Sure. Connext is a company that helps clients build, train, and manage their own remote teams. And the reason I do it is because I saw a need. I was the president of a company. We had about 200 employees, and Honolulu is a tight labor market. And so we just couldn't find the people that we needed to grow our business. And the outsourcing solutions available weren't right for us. So we kind of figured out this middle ground, and it worked well. And I wanted to help do that for other people. And, you know, I'm happy to be on the show. Thank you very much for having me. Happy to talk about that and things we've learned and how other people might apply those lessons to their businesses.
Yeah, definitely. And just for a little background, obviously, you said you're in another business where you identified this need. What kind of business were you in?
It was a dental group. So we had 10 offices, 40 dentists, 200 employees, and, you know, like a multi-site dental group.
And what was the staffing issue you had that required you to think outside the box and come up with your own solution?
So this was in 2007, 2008. And probably everyone remembers in the run-up to the global financial crisis, the economy was booming and the unemployment rate was very low. Wages were going up quickly. And Hawaii in particular, we just couldn't hire people. So we needed people to do, there's a lot of processes in healthcare, eligibility verification, payment posting, answering the phone, you know, all these sort of things that have to happen. And we just couldn't hire anyone. So we needed to find people to help grow the business.
Got it. And what were the other services out there in that space lacking that, you know, you needed to have? Because again, I mentioned they didn't fit what you were doing.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing that was lacking was small scale. So, and that sort of changed over the last, 12 years. But in 2007, you can't call up Accenture and say, hey, my name's Tim. I'm really nice. Can I have 5 people that will do Hawaii Dental Service eligibility verification, right? Accenture is just like, no way. And Tata and, you know, Wipro, these big outsourcing firms just won't do something at that scale. And so we had to figure out how to get the service we wanted at what's a very small scale in the outsourcing industry.
Got it. And do you still run that dental group?
No, I left to start Connext.
Great. And so I guess tell us about like Connext, you know, who's your primary clientele, you know, what markets do you serve?
So our primary clients are what I would call middle market companies. So, you know, someone who has a need for probably more than five, they have more than five openings, and it's maybe state, regional scale players, but not T-Mobile, AT&T, right? Those kind of companies will call the very large BPO companies.
Right. Now we're talking remote staffing. So obviously, you know, this is stuff that where people don't have to be physical presence. So, you know, I'm guessing phones, computers, you know, what are some of the typical services that you provide?
You know, it's really interesting. everyone's kind of seen it for the last 18 months. Anything like there's been a whole bunch of work that's been done from home that employers and managers didn't think could be done from home before. And, you know, I kind of say if it can be done from home, it can be done from the Philippines. So we started in the beginning with medical billing tasks, accounting tasks, customer service tasks, and we've kind of expanded from there based on things that clients need.
Got it. So now let's just say this. I'm a small to mid-sized company here in the States, and I realize I have a staffing need. It's something that, you know, can be done that doesn't require that physical presence, that actual tangible hands-on. You know, I guess what do I need to consider before, you know, hiring a remote staffing company?
So I think the best way to think about it is if you were going to build a team down the road a mile or you know, in the next town over, what would you do? Well, you think about who you wanted to hire, right? Who do I want on my team? What kind of profile do I want? What do I want them to be good at? What am I willing to accept? Then you'd think about, okay, well, how am I going to train them? I know they're just down the street, but I can't see them. So I have to come up with some training procedures. And then if you think back, and then that will force you to think, well, what exactly do I want them to do, right? And think through the processes. Well, right now, the person takes this piece of paper and they move it here. We're going to have to think through that process and figure out what they're going to do. And okay, so now that I've got the people and I've figured out how to train them, then I have to think about how to manage them. And management, a lot of it is about KPIs, right? So how am I going to know if they're doing a good job? How am I going to know if they're properly utilized? How am I going to assess their quality? So those kind of questions that you need to think through.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. And then of course, if I'm maybe already identifying the roles I need to fill, how do I find the right people? Especially if we're looking from the Philippines, you know, I'm not normally shopping there. So how do I know I'm getting the people with the right qualifications and the right skills?
Or anywhere in the world, right?
Right.
And so we're in the Philippines, but I don't, it's a big world. So, you know, I would encourage people to think about the rest of the world too. And there's, I guess, long-winded answer here, but there's four business models to think about. One is sort of direct hiring independent contractors anywhere in the world. Another is working with a company like Connext that does the recruiting and the employer of record and supports the management services. A third model is setting up a subsidiary. That's what some of the very large companies do all over the world. And then a fourth model is outsourcing. And if you outsource, then in my definition, you're purchasing a service and you don't really care what person provides it as long as the service meets your spec. So with that sort of context, we're in the world of direct hire and companies like Connext that you know, support hiring and managing. And there's a number of websites, like you can go on Upwork and sort of look at, or Indeed, and put in the geography you want, the background you want, and find employees sort of all over the world who are willing to work remotely. And then with us, it's kind of like a sort of a hybrid between a direct hiring independent contractors, because there's some issues that come up there, and starting a subsidiary. So our vision is helping our clients build their own teams. So, you know, maybe there's some people doing customer service, maybe there's some people doing accounting, maybe there's some people doing reporting, development, and they're sort of all in a team in our office.
Got it. So you're not as much a VA agency where people are coming in contracting your VAs as much as you are maybe a recruiting arm. So you partner with people to help them actually bring in their own staffing, like you said, hiring those independent contractors or building a subsidiary.
We start as a recruiting arm, a headhunter, but then we become a HR, like PEO type firm, right? Because we do all their payroll, all their benefits administration, all the employee engagement. And then we become we also are an IT help desk, because if you hire someone on you know, one of these direct hire websites, how do they get health insurance? What computer are they using? Who manages it? Who installs the antivirus? How is that overseen? Who does the compliance, right? So we do all that. And then we start helping with the management, because, you know, I'm sure you guys are great managers, but you've never tried to manage five people in the Philippines doing something. And so we provide a lot of support and handholding with our clients to make these teams effective.
I've not yet managed people in the Philippines. So,
well, you know, I was going to pipe in here too, because you mentioned Upwork, Fiverr is another one.
Yeah.
You know, I can see the value of what you're doing, because I have not personally had great success. Like a lot of people have. I've had a few great success stories, but I've also tried a lot and has utilized a lot of my time that seemingly kind of goes to waste, to be honest. And it's hard to decipher who's good, who's not. You know, I don't know where these ratings come from. Sometimes I question, you know, is it an Amazon style rating, you know, but, you know, so is the value, you know, I guess explain the value and the expectations that people can have working with someone like yourself, versus someone like me that spins their wheels.
I mean, well, I think that's exactly the value. There's a reason that companies have HR departments, right? It's not like if you're a manager at a company, you don't post your own job advertisements and screen all your candidates and negotiate health insurance with each person, right? You sort of let the HR department do that. And so we're acting as the recruiter, we're acting as the HR department, and we're acting as the IT department, and we're acting as the facilities department, and we're acting as the sort of the management consultant for this remote team. And those are things like, you know, if you work for a large company in the US, those are things that are all in place, and you have that support with your, you know, even with your local teams. And so, and it takes a lot of your time to do all those things. And so we can do those things for you in a lower cost environment.
Well, and you know, as we talk about this, it's making a lot of sense to me. I mean, obviously the services, your Upworks and your Fivers, I mean, well, those are probably more suited for, you know, the contract stuff we spoke about, you know, like hiring somebody to design a logo or a letterhead, right? You give them clear specifications, but when you're hiring an employee, you know, if here in the States, I would conduct multiple interviews and, you know, I would check references, and why would I not do that if I'm hiring somebody halfway around the world? I guess that, fair point.
Background check, drug check, right? In-person interview, you know, all of those sort of things.
I wouldn't hire somebody here for our own office if they just had a price tag on them and that was it. So there's a ton of value in what you do, and I definitely see that value, Tim. So let me ask you, because I'm sure there's a certain amount of consulting that has to go with this when you begin working with a business. What does that process look like?
You know, I think this is... this is not a revelation for anyone, but it's really helpful to think about. If you think about this, if a business hires the right people, uses the right processes, trains them well, and manages them well, you get good outcomes, right? If you think about where something's gone wrong, right? We didn't have the right people, they weren't working the right processes, they weren't trained, or they weren't managed. And so, you know, I guess the consulting is going through that framework and making sure there's a vision, right? The how we're going to play the pieces to the end to get these people in and get them successful. So, you know, like we talked about before, who do you want to hire, right? What do you like? What sort of profile? They need to be really sort of good at improvisational conversation. Or if you want them to do accounts payable, you know, we don't really care so much about that. We care about attention to detail and experience with QuickBooks, right? And so really getting into what the client wants. And then, you know, the training sort of generally happens. And I think the other big challenge that our clients have, we have mid-sized businesses happen, you know, I started to whisper because it's a secret. There's a lot of people who aren't very good managers.
Yes.
And so they really struggle to manage the people in their own office. And now I'm trying to manage three people in, you know, wherever, Seattle, and three people in the Philippines. And I wasn't even really very good at managing my three people in Seattle. So that's kind of a challenge for us. We try to work with the frontline managers in order to make their team successful.
Yeah. You talked, I'll mention about the managers. I mean, it makes me think because we all go to school for specific topics. We go to school for, I mean, for you, maybe dental school or whatever. And it's a very specific topic, but how much do we actually ever get trained on how to work with people? You know, they do put us in teams and we might draw some poster boards together or something like that. But ultimately, there's no real training for the management. And it's kind of a fly by the seat of your pants very, very often.
Yes, yes. Especially for frontline supervisors. So, you know, for people who go to college, university, there is some training, right? And there's some experience. But in a lot of these companies, the frontline supervisors have an associate's degree at best, and they, you know, they're even less prepared to be managers.
Yeah. Now, how much of this too, let's just kind of expand on the obligations of the owner of the business going into this. How much has to do with having the right org chart in place, and how often do you have to help them, you know, craft the role and, you know, make sure that they are hiring the right people for the right seats?
We've worked a little bit on organizational charts, but honestly, not too much. It's more the, it's really more the job description and the candidate profile. Typically, someone knows what they want to do, or what their need is, and then we figure out how to do that. So it's really more about the candidate profile and how to enable the processes and technology than it is like restructuring their entire organization.
Understood. And as related to the management, I mean, even if somebody does have the manager, you know, the management acumen or the leadership traits that are needed for this, are there any considerations when we're dealing with other cultures that we need to be aware of? You know, obviously somebody who speaks English well from another country is something that's highly sought after. And I think that's maybe a concern with a lot of people before they outsource internationally. But even then, there's still going to be some differences, you know, some differences in practices, communication. What do those conversations usually go like?
I'm chuckling. I can't tell you how many times things get lost in translation from English to English, right?
Even in our own country.
Yes, right. So the English literacy rate in the Philippines is very high. The sort of the culture is very outgoing, right? Mabuhay is like aloha in Hawaii, friendly, outgoing. So there's a really, really strong sort of desire to do well. You know, culturally in the Philippines, at least, there's a little bit of an aversion to failure and asking questions. And so we have to kind of push people to like, you got to ask questions. You got to demonstrate that you learn, right? Things like that. And so, you know, we try to work with the teams there. I think one of the important things is we have some clients who sort of don't utilize the Connects managers. Let me put it that way. And so, you know, if you're having a problem communicating with someone, call me and I'll talk to the Connects manager and they'll talk to them and sort of get the direct story. Cause they don't, you know, you're the client, you're the boss. They don't want to tell you what you're doing that's making them upset, but they're happy to tell someone else. Right. And so we can kind of be that third party to resolve the feedback on both sides.
So you stay in the relationship well after, well beyond the hire.
Yep.
Obviously, you need to provide the payroll service and such too. So I suppose, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So now that the world has opened up a little bit, we've all kind of noticed that a lot of work can be done from home. Why go overseas? And, let's be real, like it's cheaper, but I guess what kind of success rate are you seeing, and why is that better than keeping some of the labor here?
Well, there's a couple of aspects to that, right? There's the business aspect, and then there's the social sort of, I don't know, community aspect. And from a community perspective, this, like, you know, I get this question, hey, you're taking Hawaii jobs, right? Or you're taking wherever, Seattle jobs. I'm like, no, first of all, there's not that many people here who are willing to work and do the job. But even more importantly, from an economics perspective, standard of living increases happen because of productivity growth. I mean, that's like sort of non-debatable, right? And so the way that productivity growth happens is more productivity per employee. So if I have 200 people at this dental group generating $20 million, and I can generate $25 million with the same 200 people in Hawaii, I've just increased our GDP per capita by 20%, or 25%, excuse me, and I can afford to pay more for the jobs in Hawaii. So I think it's really positive for productivity growth is really positive for communities. For the business owners, like I also feel strongly about this. Like, if you can find someone who's great and you're happy with wherever they are, whatever they cost, that's fine. Don't change, because there's a big cost in changing, right? We talk about turnover, but training. And if you have five people doing something in your office in Denver, I would never advise you to call me and, hey, let's replace those people in the Philip. That would just not, it would prove to be very challenging, and there's better uses of everyone's time. So it's really about the shortages. And, you know, if you're in Denver and you can find someone in Florida, that's great, right? It's that you're happy with. So I don't advocate necessarily that you have to work with Connects, you have to work with the Philippines. It's, whatever it takes to make the business successful.
Now, Tim, you mentioned earlier on about, of course, you know, making sure going into this that you know how you're measuring and tracking your KPIs. And I think a lot of the classic management has been the in-person office managers, monitoring by butt time in a chair. And, we're shifting into a more remote world, even locally here. So even as we have employees spread out across our country, not even considering international, it's all relatively the same. What do you find is the best plan for success for a business owner to be able to track those and track and measure those KPIs, and I guess maybe put importance on more than just, how many hours the person's spending in a chair?
It's super, it's fascinating. There's this belief that that sitting next to me is somehow a proxy for management and oversight, right? But they're working on their computer. I'm working on my computer. I really don't know, even though they're next to me, but it creates the illusion. So there's three things that I think are really important that everyone should start with. Measure and manage productivity, utilization, and quality. And so, and my definition here, productivity is output. So let's say a person is processing accounts payable, and they're going to do, and they take 5 minutes each. That's our task time. That's 12 per hour. 12 times 8 is 96, 96 per day. And so we should be sort of measuring whether they're meeting that 96 per day. And frequently, we'll see people do 120 or 90, but we know where they are relative to that productivity measurement. The second thing that's really important is utilization. And this is one that's, for the most part, easier to see when people are next to you, but and perhaps more important with remote staff, because you can't. So your expectation is I do 96 per day, but your expectation is also that I work 8 hours. So if I do 96 in 4 hours, the task time was too easy. And if I'm next to you, you see me, you know, playing video games, you know, I need some management. If I'm overseas or, you know, out of the off remote, right, then all you know is I got the 96 done. And, you know, there's some arguments. Well, you got the 96, whatever, you should be happy. But, you know, we want to do better than that, right? We want to improve over time. And so this visibility into the utilization is important, because you know whether that's taking me 4 hours a day or 6 hours a day or 10 hours a day. Because if it's taking 10, there's a different problem to be addressed. And then the third aspect is quality. Because, you know, if I do 96 in a day and 48 of them are wrong, you know, I've created negative value, right? And so we really have to sort of be even more vigilant about managing, having procedures to check quality and then manage quality with remote staff.
Yeah, I bet the utilization's probably a tough one, you know, especially if you're dealing with employees here. But I mean, I would think it would apply everywhere. How do you monitor that utilization without, I guess, killing morale, you know, without, say, having a camera pointing at their face the whole day?
Yeah, well, yeah, even a camera is like, so I think part of it, one of the nice things about the Philippines and some other remote environments is people just sort of accept that from day one as part of the nature of the job. If you hire someone in, you know, in Denver, they probably haven't had to do that before. In outsourcing or remote staffing, it's sort of like, and it's not just over, it's the industry more than the location. So if you hire someone from a law firm or an accounting firm, they've been tracking their time and they're used to it and it's part of their work. And if you come into it with that mentality, I don't think it's that hard. And when you come into the industry, that's just the expectation that you track your time.
Got it. What sort of tool do you use to measure the productivity, the utilization, and the quality?
So, yeah, it's hard and it's inconsistent, because we have we have like 50 clients doing, and each of one of them has different teams and they're all doing different things. And so it's a little bit all over the place, more than I would, because I would like, I would like, right, exactly the same for everyone. And the real world just doesn't work like that. So utilization is easy. It's time tracking. So we build a custom, we have a handful of developers. We build a custom tool that everyone uses to track what they do. And then reports get generated automatically. Productivity is client specific. And we have to work with clients. 100% do not have productivity measures. Some do, some don't. And it ends up being subjective in some cases. And then for quality, clients do QA. We do our teams for the clients do QA. We report on the QA. And so we have to create systems specific to what the tasks are. And then on top of that, we've started doing a subjective measurement, because what I really care about as a service provider is whether you guys are happy, right? I mean, you care about productivity, quality, and utilization. I care about whether or not you're happy, because if you're happy, you're going to renew, right? So every month I try to get your feedback. So, you know, Tim works for you guys, and you rate me on a scale of 1 to 10. And if I'm getting 4s and 5s, we need to intervene. If I'm getting 9s and 10s, then, you know, you're happy.
Great. Okay, Tim. And I guess last question I got for you is how does someone know if, you know, hiring a remote staffing agency is the right thing to do to help them, expand? Like, what's the best way to check?
I think there's no single check, right? It's probably a little bit of a checklist, right? If they're even thinking about it, they have a staffing need. If the potential is, let's call it more than 2 or 3 people, then I think a company like Connext is probably good. If it's half an FTE, you know, it's 4 hours a week, it's something like that, then Fiverr and Upwork are probably better, right? Because it doesn't justify the time to create this infrastructure. And then I guess, so there's the need, and then thinking about whether the task can be done remotely, right? And then the willingness of the people involved to accept it. So we probably, you don't, I could talk about this for a long time, but you guys as business owners may say, hey, this is a great idea. And you tell your operations manager, hey, talk to Tim and do this. Operations manager may not be so into it, right? So you got to make sure there's some buy-in from whomever will be involved in the local teams.
And what's the highest level that you hire for? Is it typical admin work, bookkeeping work? What's the highest level you go up to?
You know, anything we can find, anything the client wants and anything we can find. My tongue-in-cheek motto is anything that's legal. Right now we have several, business intelligence and business intelligence, folks. So we build Power BI reports. We maintain them. We do SQL development. We have one of our clients, we have the controller. So we have like a 15-year experienced CPA who manages a team of 3 CPAs and 4 AP staff. So that's fairly high level. We have some managers, HRIS systems administrators. It's because, you know, people sort of think it's the Philippines, but there's 100 million people in the Philippines. They have breweries, they have airlines, they have banks, they have tech companies, they have outsourcing.
They're smart too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and India, there's a billion people in India, right? So
yeah.
Some really sophisticated things can be done overseas.
Obviously, Tim, if this resonated with somebody listening and they're at that stage where they could use, you know, they fit those criteria and would like to talk to you, how could they connect with you?
It's Tim at Connext, Connext global.com.
Okay, perfect, Tim. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Before we let you go, I'm going to turn it over to Justin for the Wealth Watchers Brain Pick.
All right, Tim, 5 questions for you. Let's see how you do. Number 1, what is your superpower or unique natural ability?
You know, I'm really good at math and I can't monetize that, but you know, I'm good at math.
Yeah. That's a powerful subject. Yeah. And I love that my kids are involved in that as well, because I see the value being in real estate. But next one, if you were to go back 3 to 5 years, what might you have done differently that you wish you could have?
Is making investments in tech company an allowable answer?
Sure.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. There's been some you know, massive value creation in the last 5 years that I missed out on.
Yeah, that and crypto and the different advantages of different investments. Yeah, absolutely. Hindsight's a great thing. So then where are you headed in the next 3 to 5 years?
We have 250 employees now. My goal in the next 2 years is to get to 750 employees. We're going to open 2 more sites in the Philippines. We're going to either acquire or greenfield a site in Latin America. And then we're going to continue to expand our service offering. And we're going to push a lot into robotic process automation, because a lot of the work we're doing now will be done by technology in the future. And so we're going to be there ahead of that.
Excellent. Okay. Sounds interesting. What is your favorite book on business or money?
So I this is kind of an old one, but Competing for the Future, Hummel and Prahlad. So it's about strategy. It's one of the real early books from the early 90s about strategy. It's just a fantastic book because it lays out a lot of these ideas that are the foundation for business strategy over the last 30 years, creating a positive spiral and things like that.
Great. And last one, what has been your biggest aha moment?
Oh my. My biggest aha moment. I think actually my biggest aha moment, I read Tom Friedman's book, The World Is, especially relative to Connect, The World Is Flat. And it was a whole book about how things are done all over the world, sort of outsourcing, remote staffing. And it was a huge aha moment in terms of, you know, creating the vision for what we could do and what Connect could be as a company.
Great. Well, thank you, Tim. Definitely good insight for us today, and definitely appreciate your expertise on that.
Thank you. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Tim, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been another episode of the Wealth Watchers Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lendy. For my co-host, Justin Hoggett, and I, thanks for listening.
All right, guys, until next time.
This has been the Wealth Watchers Podcast. If you enjoyed this content, please subscribe and leave a review on your podcast player of choice. Join us on Facebook, where our members and guests are actively engaging in discussions on wealth-growing strategies by searching for Wealth Watchers Community on Facebook.